You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Kate E. Schaefer. Kate, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Kate, you're in Milwaukee now, right? You're a Milwaukee artist?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what you're working on now in terms of painting. I want to know talk more about that, but what are you working on at the moment in your studio?
Yeah, right now I am actually just polishing up some work for an exhibition that opens on Friday. The main thing I have to paint, it's so lame. It's a bookshelf and a couple other shelves. They're just going to gallery white. But what I did just finish were six paintings that are kind of biographical, for lack of a better term, works about the other people in this show with me. So the show is called The Book Club, What Would Lynn Tillman Do? The Book Club, What Would We Do With Lynn Tillman? Based on Lynn Tillman's book that we read, What Would Lynn Tillman Do? So the premise of the book is it's art criticism, but of things that Lynn believes are really important and valuable that she wants other people to know about. So we kind of took that idea and ran with it.
You mean that's Lynn Tillman's idea in her book, and the show's curated based on that idea?
You got it, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So we found her book valuable, so we're thinking about giving it exposure in life, interpreting it in our own ways, which she is a fan of hearing others' interpretation of her work. And then we're also playing off of each other's artistic practices in the show. So these paintings that I did are brick and cloud paintings because I...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but before you tell me about the paintings, let me just ask this, because I want to hear about those. How is this show organized? Who's curating it? It sounds like an artist-curated show or something, but how did that theme come together? It sounds very collaborative the way that's curated.
Yes, it is collaboratively curated between the five of us. And the five of us are Peter Beck, Lois Bielefeld, Melissa Dorn, and Jamie Harvey Wilms, and myself. And so we started this book club about a year ago. This was the first book we read, was the Tillman, and we came up with an idea for the show, submitted it to the Frank Juarez Gallery here in Milwaukee. We were fortunate enough to have it chosen as one of the exhibitions, and then we have been working very collaboratively. We've been meeting at least once a month. We've been talking through. We've been doing interviews with each other. And then we just had a big install day on Sunday, and now we have just, like, the loose ends to tie up.
Okay, so before you talk about the paintings, I have another question to ask then. Book club, you know, this is such a cool idea for a way of artists to begin collaborating without necessarily that goal in mind. So can you just tell me how the book club was started and how it worked and how the several people that were here came together to be in this book club and how it worked a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a nerd, so I like to continue to learn. So I finished my MFA program at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago a couple of years ago, and I wanted to continue the conversations that I was having. Peter and I were in the program together, so I was like, I definitely want to continue the conversations with Peter. I met Melissa through some exhibition work that she was doing. She was curating. I was in a show. We had great conversations about the work. Jamie, I met through a mutual friend. I got the dreaded phrase through one of my non-artist friends of, hey, I have an artist that I want you to meet. And I was like, oh, boy. But Jamie was an artist who thinks like I do, so it was great. Wanted that conversation. And then Lois, I was teaching with, at the time at Mount Mary University, and I said, we're going to have good conversations. So we all kind of came together. I didn't give anybody a choice. I was like, we have to read What Would Lynn Tillman Do? Because it's art criticism, and we are artists, and it's a great book. So they humored me, and we read the book, had great conversations, collaboration being one of those things. So it's part of the book is like this idea of collaborating with other people.
Let me just ask you, so as far as the book club itself, you picked that book, you guys read it, what, after every certain amount of pages, you'd meet once a week to discuss the book? Is that how the book club itself works?
Yeah, kind of. I think we did maybe like half the book, had a meeting. That was probably like a 2 or 3 week read, and then the other half of the book and met again. Yeah.
Okay, and then the idea for the show was born during that or at the end of those discussions, or was it planned all along?
It was not planned. And I am trying to remember, I'm flipping back in my notes to see if it's readily obvious to me. I may have been in a different notebook when we started, but it was either during or at the end. So.
Right. Okay, great. I asked those details just because I think it's a wonderful way for artists to work together. I just wanted to get that process down, that the whole thing came out of this book club and this reading and obviously learning, like you said, this ongoing process of learning, which is nice to continue even after post-MFA or wherever you are in the world. I'm big into that. But I just wanted to hear that. So now the show has been organized. You guys organized this. You got a space with Frank Juarez. Tell me about how your images in the show, the content of them, and how it relates to the show.
Yeah. So these six paintings incorporate these brick and cloud paintings that I've been doing. I also put other objects, common everyday studio type objects, into these paintings. Have you played Super Mario Brothers?
Yes.
Okay, so you know that in Super Mario Brothers, you can run on top of the clouds.
Right.
And you can easily break the bricks, right? You can have bricks on top of clouds. So I've been thinking a lot about these sorts of impossible things and how we can make them possible. So my paintings address that through stacking and bridging and all sorts of weird things, weird constructions. So for these six, I took an item that, or an artwork that the other artists were going to put in the exhibition and incorporated it into these sorts of constructions. And I also made one for Lynn Tillman. So Lynn Tillman, it's like a layer of bricks, a layer of clouds, and then the book.
These are painted on canvas, or some of these objects are actually affixed to the wall. How does it actually look in this maze?
Yeah, good question. So these are oil on canvas paintings. And then the objects that I'm referencing are in the gallery as well, but they are their own pieces.
So you have the oil on canvas paintings and then the objects themselves that you've painted in those paintings are also in the gallery?
Yes. So it's kind of this circle that's happening.
Right. Okay. Excellent. And so there's a relationship between those objects and the paintings. I mean,
right.
That people are going to draw. So tell me a little bit about the content of that. What are you thinking? I mean, in terms of what these objects or what these paintings communicate. You know, your work, you know, before as previously has been talked about in terms of feminism and queer theory, and how does that fit into what you're doing with the objects and paintings you just described?
Yeah, so I think as far as a link to feminism, a lot of these objects are that I am thinking about and referencing are the tools that I particularly use or the things that I particularly surround myself with. So as a feminist, I'm thinking about my own lived experience. And as a feminist, I'm thinking about sharing with people the things that are important with me. And I'm thinking about envisioning new possibilities in the world, which I think as a feminist, right, if I want to drive change toward equality, I have to open up some sort of space where that can exist as an artist. So
opening up that space is what we're talking about here. I'd love to get into that more, if that's not too abstract, what that means to open up that space.
Yeah, I think, so I love talking about things that are difficult and complex and trying to clarify them. So I think that this is a great question, and we can kind of try to fumble around with it a little bit and get to some sort of clarity.
That sounds good.
So how does one open up space? So I think
feminist and coming from your perspective entirely, and also, right, we're talking about, well, I'm sorry, go on, yeah.
Yeah.
How does one open
space? Yeah, so I think that strategically collaborating is one way to open up space. I like to curate as well as make. So I am often finding myself showing the work that I think is extraordinarily important in the world. So there's this like very real, the choices we make as we curate, or the choices we make as we post to Instagram about who we're showing. So there's the kind of curatorial social media side of this. But
right.
Then there's also an imaginative space. And that's where I think my paintings and my installations really start to grapple with this idea, or really start to suggest to viewers that there are more possibilities in the world than the ones that we are living in right now. So
that's interesting.
Kind of
that space in terms of possibilities, because I'm interested in how the viewer sees it. There's, of course, the Instagram, which viewers also see, but then seeing possibilities in terms of how you're using forms, right? Because we're talking about forms,
right,
too. There's your painting in these, informally, the objects that are also in the room. So you're talking about also opening up space, and just correct me if I'm wrong, for the possibility of the viewer creating, making, or thinking this way? Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, so, like, we are in a society that likes to be hyper-individualistic.
Right.
So hopefully when we walk into the space of this show, the viewer has the chance to see relationships between multiple pieces of work and start thinking about, oh, you're making a painting of Lois's work, and what does that mean, and how does that draw a social connection? Not just an artistic one, but like a tangible relationship that gets built.
Right.
So hopefully they come into the gallery and start seeing these connections that maybe they hadn't thought of. And they're probably going to see more things in that installation than any of us, the artists, saw.
Of course, and through their own filter. So through your filter, to talk about feminism and queer theory and abstractionist aesthetics, which you've mentioned before in writing,
mm-hmm.
How does that figure into the space that you're opening? Do you feel that that's clear, or that I mean, how does that those influences figure in that, because you also mentioned that this is a kind of personal show for you, right?
Right, yeah. So I think queer theory is important to me because it is all about considering these new possibilities. So it's about positioning things either against the status quo or alongside the status quo or bumping into the status quo and throwing it off kilter. So anytime I can introduce into a space or to someone that just because something has always been done a certain way doesn't mean that it needs to be done that way. Like that's a big part of queer theory and a big part of what I am trying to do. And then I think with abstractionist aesthetics, Harper wrote the book. It's outstanding. I recommend it, but it's heavy. It's theory. He is proposing that that narrative is important, but narrative is not as open for all people to engage with as when we break the narrative or when we become more abstract, right? Because abstraction opens up things for viewers. Scott McCloud writes about this in Understanding Comics in a brilliant way. I also recommend that book.
So that's very interesting. And so to talk about queer theory in that context, because it's always something I'm trying to understand more about, is there a narrative that queer theory is that's accessible to everyone about queer theory, do you think, through your work, or that somehow incorporates that? I mean, I know this is kind of abstract what I'm asking, but I'm trying to understand how beyond the abstraction of opening up spaces, which of course makes sense in terms of queer theory in a general way, is there also something that affects the narrative, even of abstraction, that somehow helps the viewer understand or become aware that there is a queer aesthetic that has something to do with theory here, or am I reaching too much there?
I think so. Queer theory is a philosophical underpinning to my work. And I think because the work is strange aesthetically, or different aesthetically than perhaps a common still life, right? Because basically these paintings that I'm talking about are still lives. That it does generate this interruption, but I don't know if people would say, yes, this painting helps me understand queer theory. Like maybe if I talked about it with them, then it would, but I don't think unless somebody's thinking about queer theory already that it would necessarily come to the forefront.
But you talked about interruption. I mean, that's kind of interesting as being part of it, which is also an aesthetic that people see and understand, but on a very, in most cases, not a very academic level or literal or even narrative level, right?
Right.
The sense of interruption. And by that, do you mean how you're actually painting or forms or the objects that are in the room when you talk about interruption?
Yeah, I try. So one thing that I'm thinking about is how form and content and subject matter kind of become one and they all necessitate each other. So I hope that the interruptions that I'm creating are with content, with form, and with subject all at once. So the bricks are stacked impossibly. And the paintings are arranged in the gallery perhaps in a non-standard way, or the show is put up in a non-standard way. And then the messaging or the title that's accompanying it is creating this sort of like, ooh, I didn't think of it that way. So I think I'm trying on a really holistic level to create that sort of interruption.
Thanks. I know that was this is a great conversation. I feel like these are tough things to talk about, but I'm glad you did. And I think that's becoming clear. Well, I want to wish you, you know, great luck on the show and everyone in there. There'll be links to that in this interview so people could find out more about it. And
awesome.
Unless there's something else you want to say about that show, I want to ask you the last question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
I just started Judith Butler's Notes Toward the Performative Theory of Assembly. So thinking again about these politics and how art and politics mix. And I'm also rereading What Would Lynn Tillman Do as we prepare for the show.
Kate, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and the work you're doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.